Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info.
And Scottish Sultans on the land, and everbeyondradio.com.
To leave your belief systems behind, as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond,
Welcome and greetings. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning if you're in the east. Good afternoon, good evening if you're in the west. If you're in the north, good God, what are you doing there? Anyway, here we are. It's the 15th of February, the Ides of February. And it's a chilly night in Michigan. The wind blows between the pillars of Swerdlow Mansions. As our camera zooms in down to a large, sprawling mansion, swimming pool, shaped in the shape of a, the shape of a long Cuban cigar. I don't know, maybe. here, sitting by the swimming pool, in the deserted swimming pool, on a little desk, shivering at a laptop. Stuart, I imagine you're in a much more cozy situation than that. But greetings.
Actually not.
Yes. I wasn't that far away, was I?
Yes, I'm freezing, actually.
Oh, bless your heart. We'll allow you to... We'll get up some steam. We'll get some passionate stories going, and then we'll get you warm. I wish I could send you infrared energy over the internet. It would be great because it's lovely and cozy here. I got the stove running, and if I can encode some heat into your chakras and warm you up from the inside, that would be great, wouldn't it? So I welcome my dear and good old friend Stuart Swerdlow. How are you?
Oh, thank you, JP. It's great to speak to you again.
It's lovely. It's always lovely to have you on the show. Like I was saying on the thing, you know, you are on a journey. Maybe you know what it's about, but you're certainly traveling, and you're in some ways it's like a kind of treasure hunt that you're looking, and you find one thing that leads you to another thing that leads you to another thing, and this person says that and that person does, and you then discover something that nobody else knew, and then you bring it back. And you talk about it on Wolf Spirit Radio, and that's what we love. And so, good afternoon. It's the first show after a few months we haven't spoken. And the last
yes.
time you were speaking, you said you were just about to go off somewhere. I think it was to the Far East. I'm not quite sure. Was I correct?
When did we speak last?
Oh God, it must have been maybe October or something like that. I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly.
Well,
in a while. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes, I was, first I think I went to Iceland, and then I went from there to Finland and Poland, and then to Denmark, and then back here, and then I went to the east coast of U.S., and then I've been home since then, but I'm leaving on Saturday.
Oh wow! So you're off again. It was in August. So yes, you're on, mm-hmm. on to Europe. So, yeah. Did I miss you? Did you come to the UK?
No, I actually bypassed it.
You know, it'd be lovely to have you over one day, and it'd be lovely to be able to afford to bring you over. We'll see what we can do. I want to start doing gigs over here. We've got a big concert hall here called the Universal Hall in Findhorn. And to see you on that stage would just be superb. It's a consciousness center, and it's on the top and on ley lines and all this stuff. So what you say, you know, will go through your feet and go out into the ley lines.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Maybe from other parts as well. But you know, JP, the last time I was in UK, I did a seminar in Stirling in Scotland. and also in Birmingham.
Sterling is Sterling's about 5 hours away from here, but that's pretty good. That's you know. So next time you come, we'll see if we can squeeze you in up here. I'm sure we can find you accommodation and stuff. And,
yes. And I love to be squeezed, JP.
A good wish. I know. I won't tell Janet. So. I just want to, you know, give a shout out to Janet as well for arranging the interview and for looking after you in the way she does by making your favorite steak food and things.
Oh, yes. Have you seen her cooking podcast?
Well, yeah, I've seen quite a few of her cooking podcasts. I do like a little drool. I'm currently off meat at the moment, but if somebody gives me food that's got meat in it, I'll eat it, you know, but I don't choose it for myself. It's an offering thing. It's good that, you know, you're able to work with people who generally are in a very, fanatical space about food. Like I was saying in the show earlier, we were talking about the energy of the solar plexus and how when you judge a piece of food, you kind of virtually poison it.
Yes.
And when you bless food, you literally bless it. You know, you're
right.
Spinning it up. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because
energy. It's all about protecting energy. And so when you eat food, no matter what it is, you should mentally direct the molecular structure to do in the body what you wish it to do for you. And it will be so.
Interesting. So, because one of the thoughts that I've had in the last couple of years, like I was saying before, the picture is growing. Before we did the show, I was saying to Stuart that for a lot of us, I mean, it feels like Stuart's been there a long time. He's like in an empty town waiting for people to turn up, you know. the beard's growing longer and longer. And there's still nobody. There's a guy wandering in, and then he wanders out again. Yeah. But it's like being in a place where you kind of, you know, everything makes sense to you. And yet, to everybody else, you're on the other side of a glass partition that is labeled crazy. And yet, you're actually the opposite of crazy.
Well, I guess it's a matter of opinion.
But, you know, but what
I think
is crazy?
Everybody else is crazy.
Exactly. You know, as Sean says, you know, to crazy people, normal people look like crazy people. So
exactly.
You know, it's perception. And but the picture of which I speak, one of them is in our nature and the nature of this being that we call ourself, the human body, the human skin suit, I believe runs on electricity, and that we've resorted to food as a kind of backup fuel that we've kind of got stuck in. Oh, it tastes nice. But that there is some aspect to the human body that does not need to eat food because it takes electricity straight out of the atmosphere like a Tesla tower. Am I right about that, or am I just like a crazy man?
Well, yes, you are right about it. However, it does have to do with the mind pattern of the individual, and most people, if not all, on the earth right now are not at that level yet. They're not at the place where they can just simply take the energy from the sun and the atmosphere. And so they do have to ingest material food in order to sustain themselves. But eventually, and it might be decades or centuries from now, when people will not be able or not need to have food, and they'll be able to take the energy right from the environment.
You see, this is one of the things that I've been thinking about these last few years, because I got into this kind of area because of the Y2K thing, and my wife and I were reported on the news and things, and it was silly, and it got very silly because people were putting words into our mouth. But there was a point when I realized, I was thinking, everybody's saving food and there's guns and you want to go hunting and all this stuff. But what happens if we raise our consciousness to being able to relate to lettuce, right? Like talk to it. We won't want to eat it so much as we want to kind of have a tantric relationship where we both improve our energy, you know, where we sit in our garden and the plants grow as a result of our expanded consciousness, and then whatever small amounts we eat from those is highly loaded with prana and life energy that we've cycled into the garden and stuff like that. Is that the future of humanity, rather than sort of desperately running around looking to hunt things, that actually we don't need to eat food and you know, we create harmony as we go? Am I being over idealistic?
Well, ultimately, if we understand and connect to the absolute within, we don't have to do anything except exist, and the energy is just always there from the non-physical. We don't need the physical to survive. We only can tap into the non-physical energy, which is infinite and abundant, and take as much as we need without worrying about it.
And have you been in your travels, have you been in any of the societies where they lean towards that sort of thing, or whether that is actually expanded in full?
Well, to be quite honest, everywhere I've gone where I have heard about such people, they haven't really done what they claim to do. And so they all do need physical nourishment. I have yet to meet someone who is a true breatharian or energerian and can just sustain themselves by thinking of the God mind. So, unfortunately, I haven't seen that yet.
Well, you see, here's my thought. Sure. All of this thing about the galactic wave and all of these energies that are coming from the galactic center, I get this feeling it's like one of these Tesla devices that, you know, a great big bolt of lightning shoots from one to the other and it charges up a whole bunch of capacitors. And then the whole thing's charged. You know, that's it. Boom. There's loads of energy that's available from this bank of capacitors. And the next time, and when it runs dry, then another great big bolt of energy comes across and fills up the capacitors again, and so you can run your house on it. So that, if you expand that into like stars and planets and galaxies and stuff like that, that sounds like the way that the creatures all through the galaxy should work, in that we get charged up. We have a kind of capacitance. Maybe that's what our soul energy is. We have a capacitance that is then recharged, and that's what we run on. We don't need, you know, so until the wave arrives, you know, we're kind of desperate for it, and everybody's really hungry. I'm not really sure. Does that make sense?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but as I mentioned earlier, if we tap into the source of all things, it's always radiating energy. We don't have to wait for any wave. It's just there. And we just can access it and use it to our whatever needs we have.
Okay.
But unfortunately, humanity, at least, is not yet at that level where they can do that kind of thing.
Okay, so the whole tapping into the source of things, this is part of what your courses are about?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
And not only to tap into the source of these things, but to... And here's the part that I'm most fascinated about your work particularly, is the deprogramming of not just the heavy-duty MK mind control, but the, let's say, the everyday light MK, i.e. the TV news kind of programming. Well, first of all, I mean... give yourself an unabashed plug. What do you do that people can come along to and help get help from?
Well, besides all of that, I teach people how to balance the left and right hemisphere of the brain, how to energize the chakra system without tapping into outside sources, but just using what's within you to release the negative mind patterns that project out and attract the negative experiences, to grow up the child within, to connect to the oversoul and the God mind. And then I teach them how to do the deprogramming from the external technological sources, which project artificial mind patterns that are accessed by the brain wave. And the mind thinks it's its own when it isn't, and fractures the personality. But I teach people how to reintegrate their personality and go back to the core and become what they should be in this lifetime.
Wow. That sounds like everything you want to be.
Well, yes. Yes, exactly.
That's lovely. Oh, hang on. I'm just going to put on... we're just joined by Scottish Sovereigns on the land. Just bringing in the stream there. So, yeah, good to join you all. Welcome. And that's great. So, tonight my guest is Stuart Swerdlow. And so what you just said, Stuart, is basically you have to kind of go through a whole bunch of empowerment before you can cleanse yourself. Is that what I was getting from that? Because what you're saying is you have to kind of spark up all these bits before you can actually deal with the programming that has been gone into you.
I like to use analogies, and when you're trying to rebuild a house that's been damaged and is old, you need to look at the foundation. And if that foundation is not solid, you need to redo it and then rebuild on top of the solid foundation. And it's the same thing with the mind pattern. When it's been fractured and programmed and there's negative mind patterns and emotions in there, before you can move forward, you need to clean up and restructure what's there and then build upon the new foundation and structure. And that's basically what my work is about, is to clear up all of the junk and to reintegrate and rebuild from a better position, just as you would in your own home.
And this is another one of my personal weird beliefs, is that your home reflects the state of you.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if it's your own home.
Yeah, the mind, you know, the body, the soul is the mansion of the soul, as they say. And your home, wherever you live, is a reflection of that. So if you have leaky faucets and your wallpaper is peeling and the basement has cracks in it, you need to look at that because it's a reflection of your own mind patterns.
So, that's the first stage is kind of, So, how do people do this? I mean, this sounds like quite a process, you know, something that you can't do like in a weekend because of what I call latency, which is the amount of time it takes you to move through the sludginess of your emotional body. When I first started and I started noticing things about, oh, what an asshole. That'll be like 9 weeks after I noticed it, or somebody might point it out, you know. And that period of time gets shorter and shorter as you're able to understand what's going on and work with it and start to let it go. And it loosens up this stuff. And eventually you get to see it in real time. And you can catch your own self from right. doing these things. Latency, this thing that I called latency, you probably have your own word for it. How do you approach that stuff? Because this is one of the most difficult things, you know, why people don't want to change is hidden right. there, isn't it?
Right. And you made a good point there, because most people are afraid of change. They're afraid of who they really are or what they might become. And that is also due to the media, that's due to the religious programming, schools, this kind of thing, where people are afraid to know the real truth. And, of course, then they shoot the messenger, which is why people like myself and David Icke and others are always attacked by the public, because they're afraid of finding out the truth. And so they attack the people that try to tell them the truth. And so the first step is to want to know who and what you really are. And to reach your full potential, you have to want that, because no one can make that happen within you. Only you can make that happen within you. You know, it's like when I talk to people about aliens or the Illuminati or mind control, and they don't want to believe it. They all prove it. Well, if you don't believe in it, if I showed you a real live alien, you would say it was fake. So it has to come from within the person. That's the first step. Once the person is willing and accepting of the changes and the need to make changes within, then they can learn about the things that I've mentioned, learn about the energy, about balancing the mind, about grounding themselves, about releasing the negativity, about looking at the programming issues and doing the protocols to remove this, to connect to the Oversoul and the God mind within, grow up the child within. All of these are necessary steps and correct. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a couple of weeks. It's going to take a bit of time. But as I've been telling people in the last few months, we don't really have the luxury of that anymore. Here we are in 2015. A lot of things are happening, which are not very pleasant. The Illuminati are starting to reach their agenda, their goal. And so we need to, do the work immediately. There's no time to fool around. We need to just do the work, reintegrate, release the mind pattern so the Illuminati have no longer any power over humanity.
Because that's it, isn't it? The what you're calling mind patterns are the result of what people joke about it, oh, it's my conditioning, I was conditioned. Bloody hell, you know what it takes to do conditioning, it's traumatic. It's always traumatic conditioning.
Yes.
And, nobody knows about it more than you do. The healing of those traumas, for me, are the key to the healing of humanity. And I think you're probably, so how... All right. Go ahead.
This analogy, which I know I've mentioned to you several times on other shows, but it might help people to understand. If you think of thoughts as film, the brain as the projector, and physical reality as the screen, then if you don't like the movie that's playing around you, you need to change the film, which is the way you think, and that will project out something else. So we need to go back to how we think. We need to be a monitor, a police person of our thoughts and look at what we are thinking and what we are feeling. And do we like that? Do we want to change that? And then do something about that. A lot of it is from our childhood and the imprinting from those who were in the control of us, authority figures. But there's also a lot that is from other lifetimes that we have inherited genetically, and even bleed-throughs from alternate realities where there are other versions of ourselves that are transmitting and we are accepting those imprints. So there's a lot going on. We exist in many realities simultaneously, and we are just focused in this particular one, but it's affected by many factors around us and interdimensionally.
Wow, you brought us here. Excellent, Stuart. Excellent. Parallel realities. Now, I saw the TV show Fringe. I loved it. We all love Olivia and that weird way of walking. And we all kind of, oh, what a sweet old man. And we realize, and then I realized, hang on a second. I remember one episode they said, yeah, our name is Bishop, but it used to be called Bischoff. And I thought, you paperclip bastard, you. I thought, what they're showing here in Fringe is one composite being. But this man, this old scientist who's like genial and very nice, is the son of a Nazi scientist, paperclip scientist. This is the third generation, the fourth generation. They're experimenting on children and they're giving them superpowers and they're doing horrendous things to them and it's their own child. And, and then there's this other dimension, this literal parallel dimension, which is more like it's a little more fascist. It's like the whole New World Order is like well in place in this parallel universe. And, the version of the scientist is kind of in charge. In this universe, the Nazis took over the whole world, and it's a fascist Earth, isn't it? And they all fly around in Zeppelins. It's great. Well, it's not great. It's horrible. So Stuart, parallel dimensions. apparently, mm-hmm. in a parallel dimension, I'm a dimensional researcher, and I won, get this, the Golden Boat of Ra Award. How about that? For parallel dimensional research.
Did it come with fries?
No, it came with a very nice dinner. But there was it was a difficult situation. But it's like I mean, imagine an award. You know, it's the Golden Boat of Ra. Wow, yeah, it's like the golden apple or the golden banana. You know, it's like, it's the golden thing. So that was 1840. Long story. So tell us about parallel dimensions, parallel realities, parallel lives, past lives in parallel dimensions in past lives. What the hell? It's more complicated than we think, isn't it?
Well, now, I need you to calm down, JP.
I'm very scared, Stuart. Tell me things that make me feel calm.
No, don't be scared, because you know what? It's nothing new. It's always existed. It's just now that you're finding out about it, and then the audience is finding out about it. There are infinite realities. Anything you can think of exists somewhere. There are intimate and ultimate versions of you in every location in God mind. Every thought creates a different pathway. So everything that we think at the moment puts us in a pathway that brings us to a reality where that is an acceptable idea. So that's why we have to be very careful about what we think. Because if I think, oh, I really want to, kill that guy over there. Well, somewhere in some reality, there's a version of me that's going to say, okay, I'll do that. So we are responsible for transmitting that thought. And the version of us in the reality that does it is responsible for accomplishing that thought. So it's more than one who takes responsibility, and yet it's all part of the same ultimate self. So we need to be a monitor of our thoughts. There are realities of Earth where the Nazis won the war. There are realities where the communists took over the Earth. There are realities where Atlantis never was destroyed and still exists. And on and on and on. Any scenario that you can even conceive of exists in some form. Now, the Illuminati have created, of course, the Hadron Collider, which is going to be restarted next month. And it has nothing to do with finding the so-called God particle. That is a cover story for the public. When in fact, they are trying to tap into alternate realities where the Illuminati have achieved their goals and then merge those realities into this one to enhance the power of the Illuminati here. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there that people are not aware of and probably don't want to believe, but that's the way things are right now.
Well, I think that deserves a... Oh, didn't come out. It never comes out when I want it to. Now, that deserves a... Yeah, so basically the premise of Fringe is that there's this parallel universe and that they've got this kind of big machine that is sitting under the Statue of Liberty in the show, but obviously it's under, it's in a Swiss plane somewhere. There's the plan is to merge the two realities, which of course means destruction for ours, doesn't it? It all depends on the fate of this woman who has to choose between the man she loves, who actually comes from the parallel dimension, or losing that and saving our dimension. I mean, that's a dramatization. Is there anything that is working like that? Is that happening? Okay.
Well, it's a little different than that. I mean,
it's a drama,
Yes, it's kind of a Hollywood version of that. You cannot destroy a reality because there are infinite timelines. They exist eternally. It's simply a question of which one you tap into. You can access the energy and information from any of those realities and bring it into this one. So, for example, if the Illuminati wish to merge or connect with several versions of alternate realities in which they have achieved their goals and their power, they can pull that into this one. That doesn't destroy any reality. It simply brings in an energy to the reality that's pulling in that energy. You see? So it's not, you can't, it's kind of like having a trunk of wires, you know, if people understand how, if they know what a huge cable looks like with thousands of wires inside. And you can think of each of those wires as an alternate reality, each giving off energy that influences all the energies around the, each wire. The wires aren't going to melt and blend together, but the energies of one wire could affect the energy of another wire. It's kind of like that. They maintain their identities and integrity, but they change energies and they change enhancements of mind patterns. It's kind of like that.
Okay, so from what I'm getting from that is that if you're I'll use a bad term, if you're brainwashed enough to get into a point, what's happening to you is you're being locked into a particular one of those cables, one of those timelines, according to its frequency matches your frequency, or your frequency matches it, and you lock into that. And that the problem is that, or one of the problems that we face as a humanity is that there's a large number of people who are caught into those frequencies, that somehow is taking them into creating a negative timeline, or that it's like, it's, you know, how do you, am I getting anywhere near this?
No, not at all, JP, but that's okay. You're in Scotland, then we understand all.
Yeah, I know. We Brits, we don't understand much.
Truly, truly. You know, that's why you lost the empire. But anyway. Going back to what you're saying, let's look at it this way. You know, let's say there's a reality that you exist inside your home, yes? And outside is an alternate reality where it's cold and snowy, but you're inside the warm, nice house. Now, if you open the window, all that cold air from the other reality is going to come in and affect you, but it's not going to change your house. Your house is still going to be there. It's just going to be colder. So it's kind of like that with these merging with other realities. You bring in the energy to change the ambient environment, but they still maintain their separate identities. Does that make any sense?
Okay, so it's like what we call in sound engineering, bleed over.
Yes.
Where you have a multi-core cable and you've got a really strong signal that's going down. Okay, so it's in that case, it's the strength of the signal that causes the bleed over, and
correct,
also distortion in the signal causes bleed over, because that creates high harmonics. And so
that's right.
Is that like how one timeline is trying to affect all the others around it by introducing so much distortion and injections of excess power that is causing bleed over into other dimensions? Is that an analogy as well?
Yes, and that is why so many people are experiencing now paranormal activities, why people are dreaming about lifetimes that they don't understand, that they never had, but this sounds familiar to them, and yet it isn't them. I'm getting reports from people all over the world about these kind of things. And it's because of what's going on with the Hadron Collider, with the Fermi Collider, and there are others in other places in the world. And it's causing this bleed through of energy and information that can be confusing to the people who don't understand what's happening.
And so, expansions.com was born.
Well, before that, yes. Yes.
Just had drop that one in there.
You know, but you know, JP, honestly, there are just so many people out there, they just don't want to know. They just want to attack. And so we have to deal with that as well.
Yeah, well, talk about that a bit. I mean, we all talk about, you know, everything's trying to be positive. We're all trying to find, you know, we want to find ourselves on the positive timeline. We want to experience positive energies in our life. We want to be loved and we want to be adored and all these things. And yet the reality of the world is that we're far from it, and there's a lot of suffering and there's a lot of separation, a lot of starvation and a lot of torture and a lot of really horrible things that are going on in the world. And yet they say, well, you can't change anything out there. You have to change it inside you. and then you can change it out there, or somehow that affects the out there because we're out picturing it.
That's absolutely correct. That's one of the foundational informations of my work. You know, if you read about something, hear about something, see something, even if it's thousands of miles away, it is a reflection of you, and that's why you're paying attention to it. And you know, you used terms before like positive energies, and that's judgmental. All energy is neutral. It's how we perceive it and what we do with it, see? You know, there might be reasons why people are being beheaded by ISIS. Maybe they beheaded them in other lifetimes. You know, and of course, no one wants to hear such things, but there are no accidents. There are no victims. There are willing participants. You know, people are starving, and babies are starving, and people say, oh, those poor little babies, what did they ever do? Why would they suffer like that? Well, do you know what lifetimes they've had and what they've done to others in other existences? We cannot judge. We cannot say poor thing or good thing. It just is what it is because those involved have attracted that experience. And it is as simple as changing the way you think and feel that will change the experience. And people have to recognize that without condemning the messenger and saying, oh, you're so cruel by saying such a thing. Well, you know, I didn't create existence, but that's the rules of existence.
So it's a kind of harsh reality, but it's a reality that actually is more just than people are leading themselves to believe.
That's
so
right.
You know, and then you know you get to the whole Buddhist kind of it is as it is kind of level of experiencing the world. You know, the world can be so shocking, can't it?
You know, when I hear people say, and David Icke has said this many times too, when you hear people say, well, that's the way it is, or it is what it is, I say, no, that's what you made it. That isn't what it is because, you know, all by itself, you made it that way. And if you don't take responsibility, then it will get more difficult for you until you realize that you're doing it. You know, I'm a perfect example, and I always use myself as an example for others, because I'm not perfect, and I have made terrible mistakes, and I have done things in the past which were not very pleasant or very nice, and I learned from those experiences. And at the time, I didn't realize that I was projecting out my negative thoughts and creating those experiences, but only many years later did I realize, aha, you know, if I only had thought this and this and this, then I would have changed all of that and avoided all those experiences. But we have those experiences because they teach us, and hopefully we will learn from them so they don't get more intense, and then we can move forward in a different direction. And that is what physical reality is about. It's not an accident. It's not a punishment. It is a mirror for ourselves. So whatever we think, feel, and do is reflected back, so we can experience that and understand what it's about.
Wow. There we go. That's about 8 sacred texts in about a paragraph. Thank you.
Oh, there you
go. I mean, really.
I like to bottom line everything.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I love it. I call it information density. You know, it's like, hey, you could probably listen to that about 8 times, and each time it will mean a different thing.
Yes.
It's lovely. Wow. Okay. Right. So now, Stuart, I don't know if have we exhausted that one.
You tell me.
Yeah, because basically, I was asking. You know, you offer courses and workshops and stuff like that. Have you ever had anybody who like takes the whole thing? Have you ever had like somebody who starts at the beginner level, goes all the way and does every single course? And actually, I mean, are there any people who have like gone that far into it?
Absolutely. In fact, there's one or two people. You know, on my website, I have a product that I call A Day with Stuart, where you spend a day with me and I teach what I know, etc. and I look at your energies and all that. And then I have people who spend weeks with me, and they go from beginning to the end of what I know at that moment, and I teach them everything, and they spend a couple of weeks at a time. So, wow. Yeah, and everything in between.
And you get them to make tea and things.
do you
make them tea?
Vodka with a slice of lime.
No tea. Vodka. Vodka, yes. Vodka, my favorite. Indeed. So you got all these courses and one thing, you know, and I still haven't read all of them, and thank you so much for your package, your care package, that you sent a few months ago, because it was lovely. And I still haven't worked my way all through all of it, and it's fantastic stuff. One of the things that kind of fascinates me and kind of it sort of begs my curiosity is our ancient times, our ancient history. Like we were saying, you know, that there's all these dimensions that, like you say, you know, there's a place where Atlantis is still existing, where right. they probably didn't make the mistakes that they made in our timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in through all of that, is there a place where humanity has just done it right all the way?
Of course. I mean, anything you can think of exists.
And you know, why can't we live there, Stuart?
Because those of us who are in this reality don't accept that information. We accept the information that we have here. You see, but it's all available if we tap into it. You know, I hate to say it, but a lot of humanity prefers to be ignorant. They don't want to know the truth. And that's very sad, because most of history is a lie. Most of science is a lie. Most of medical information is a lie. And people simply accept it. They go and get their vaccinations, and they go get their degree at school, and they go and do work which is meaningless to in the scheme of things, and they just accept that as it's okay and normal, and that we should do that. And that's the most frustrating thing to me, is to know that the truth is there and available, and most people in the world just turn away from it.
There you are, sitting in your very cold warehouse, where it could be full of people hanging out doing things, and it would be amazing. Swerdlow land.
Well, if they would only shovel for me, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, you got a kind of one of these American machine things that you sit on, and it just goes chuggity chuggity, and it throws snow out of the way and clears the path. Yeah,
you know,
it's called a
spade.
I'm
the only one in my neighborhood who actually does it by hand. Everyone else has those machines, and I just prefer doing it by hand.
Is that why you're so pumped?
You know it, mister.
So, yeah, cold weather. And, how long is it cold for in your area? Because I always remember, it's, you know, I always speak to you in the winter, and you're snowed in, you know, much worse than I am. So somehow Michigan seems to be a sort of pool of coolness.
Well, it starts snowing in October and usually ends in April or May.
Wow.
And we have frost. We have frost until June, and then it starts frosting again in September. So we just really have a couple of months of nice weather. You know, people say, what's the weather like in Michigan? And I say, well, we have two seasons. We have winter and winter light.
Well, it's cool, and then it's cold, and then it's cool again. So, but it's, you know, some people like it hot, some people like it cool, and...
I don't like it hot.
Yeah.
I don't like hot, I don't like humid, I cannot deal with that.
So, in your ice tower, Superman with his crystal... Mm. in his crystal tower in the frozen wastes of Michigan. Well, I don't know about the waste. Mine's not frozen now. I wish it would stop moving. But anyway, my wife, that's
where, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you said that, because we have a very famous lighthouse here in St. Joseph. And every year, and I think it was on UK News, actually, it shows the frozen, all the ice and snow, you know, frozen around the tower, the lighthouse, and it looks quite bizarre.
It's stunning. It's like a kind of fairy ice cream cone, isn't it? It's sort of pale. Yeah, I've seen those. It's because it's like, it's not only frozen the water, but it's frozen the foam.
Mm-hmm. Yes, everything's frozen.
That's quite astounding. And you know, it's like, there's your Emoto. So do you get nice kind of ice crystals around your home because of the harmony pulsing out of it?
Well, there's a lot of icicles hanging off of it. There's a lot of ice energy and crystalline energy around here all year round, actually.
Yeah. It must be. Yes. Right. Okay, Stuart. First of all, I'm going to say, would you be okay for people to call in or to ask questions in the next hour?
As long as they're proper.
Proper. And yes, not ad hominems.
Yes, I shall not have the nasties.
Okay, okay. If you wish to just type it into the chat room because you're scared of Stuart and he'll bite your head off like a mantid after sex.
Oh, my goodness.
You can call in on, we've got UK numbers and we got American numbers. They're all over the website, wolfspiritradio.com. You can also type into the chat room on Wolf Spirit Radio. The best one is the HTML5 chat. Just click chat and then HTML5. It's the new one. You can type things in uppercase, in all capitals, and I'll be able to see it with my old eyes, my what we call pensioner eyes here, sort of.
Oh, I bet I'm older than you, JP.
You are a little bit, but not much. So I'm here to ask you the question of the questions that people have asked me since my last interview with you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay, everybody, wait for it. Hang on. Where's it gone? It never bloody works. I've always got it. It's always on the... There we go. My mind drifts back. My mind drifts back to our last interview. And there you were, underneath the pyramid in Bosnia. They crack through a wall. The wall crumbles to dust. A foul smell issues. And a little baby dragon flies out. And there's a great big WTF in the audience. It's like, what happened next, right? And then you talked about something else, and like, and everybody's like left hanging. So I'm gonna bring it back to you. You probably don't know any more, but I hope you do. First of all, what happened to the mother? Did it turn into a big bit of mush? Is there a dead dragon somewhere in a museum or some CIA hospital somewhere? Or is it, you know, and what happened to the dragon? Has it been sighted? What does it eat? You know, people ask me questions, Stuart. I have to ask them.
I need you to calm down again, JP. Just need to calm down. You know?
Okay.
Okay. Listen, okay. Listen. This was information that we were not supposed to reveal, but I did anyway because I was in that kind of a mode, okay? Because the person who told us got in a lot of trouble. But, in fact, I think they were beheaded. But besides that, what happened was there was a mother winged dragon and a baby winged dragon in this tunnel that was opened up.
Oh.
Yes, the mother died within moments after being activated, if you will, woken up. But the baby dragon flew away immediately. It just flew out into the atmosphere. So nobody knows what happened to that. As far as the body of the mother dragon, that is a mystery because no one's revealing that information except it was taken away and obviously analyzed by whom I cannot tell you, but probably something associated with the Bosnian government and perhaps EU. And that's really all I know about that. I can tell you that subsequently to my last visit there, they have uncovered literally thousands of pieces of artifacts, whether they're pottery or tools or what have you, that go back for 30, 40,000 years. So the pyramid and the tunnel system are quite ancient and unprecedented anywhere else on the planet.
Thank you. 30, 40,000 years. So we're now talking about the ancient civilizations that were, you know, they've left various kind of ghosts, imprints on our reality. We call one of them Atlantis, we call another of them Lemuria. Are there more? Do you think that there's one that is supposed to be frozen under the ice in Siberia, that like along with those woolly mammoths, that was a weapon that caused that ice formation, and that there was a whole civilization underneath that. And then of course there's Antarctica. 30, 40,000 years ago, what was going on? What would planet Earth be looking like?
Oh, JP, you ask me such questions.
I know, I love it. Don't you? I mean, this is what we want to know, Stuart.
Yes, well, see, if you would give me some organic haggis, that would make it things...
Organic haggis, I'll teleport you one.
No, it's illegal in the U.S., so I can't have it.
Oh, my God. Well, you'll have to teleport here in your fourth-dimensional body. And you've missed Burns Night. Most people are in the Burns unit now. But Burns Night was it was about 3 weeks ago, the 25th of January. And that's the day we torture this poor little creature. We cut off its legs. We boil it alive, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that was Janet's birthday, January 25th.
Oh, she's a Burns Night lady.
Yeah, she tried to cut my legs off, but I ran very quickly.
So yeah, so
okay, so 30, 40,000 years ago.
Hang on, let's just drift up. Let's we'll do a double one now. There you go.
Fascinating.
Anyway, there we go.
Okay, no more drugs for you, JP. Okay, no more drugs before the show. It's not good. But I will tell you that at that time, 30, 40,000 years ago, a lot was going on the planet. We had four main areas of civilization. You mentioned two of them. Atlantis and Lemuria coexisted. But what people don't realize, or what isn't promoted very much, is that at the same time, there was the civilization of Hyperborea, which would be at what we now have as the North Pole, Greenland, Iceland, the Arctic Circle, etc. And also Antarctica, as you mentioned, was a very tropical location with a civilization there as well. Now, most of these civilizations had connections into interstellar space. In other words, they were very open with alien being, and that time the Earth was an experiment, well, still an experiment, but there were many civilizations that were coming here in order to establish a colony, to use mining resources, to create genetic hybrids. It was basically a gigantic laboratory, and still is, by the way. In fact, I would encourage people to go on my website, expansions.com, and look up the Alien Agenda conference that I did this past October, where I delineate many of the alien agendas and interdimensional agendas that are existing on this planet. You know, it's quite a complicated situation. It's not just the Illuminati. It's not just the reptilian. There are many, many civilizations, both physically and non-physically, that are interacting and establishing their agenda here. So it's quite complicated, you see.
That's fascinating. Stuart, we're at the top of the hour, and I think it might be a good idea. I certainly need to take a quick potty break and play a little tune, if that's all right. So can we reconvene one moment in time after this, which will be 4.5 minutes?
Absolutely.
Welcome back. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, Scottish Sovereigns on the Land, Tierna Sau. Actually, we're not on No Borders anymore because that doesn't exist. Also, Wolf Spirit Radio is a subscriber-supported station. I'm a listener-donated station, and I support myself with the consultation, as does Stuart, my esteemed and favoured guest here. We are having a great conversation, and so we ride on time again, all the way back to 28 or so thousand, 30,000 years ago, underneath, in the deep, dank, dark tunnels. Actually, are they dank or are they very dry?
They're actually quite lovely, and the temperature is always consistent. The oxygen is very pure. The water is pure. It's very healing to be down under those pyramid tunnels.
Wow, that's lovely. So, so we're talking about Hyperborea being now again. You know, so we assume. Humanity, in general, assumes, presumably, because that's the way we've been taught in our conditioning chambers, which we call school classrooms, we have been conditioned to believe that the Earth is always the same as it ever has been, it spins the way it always has done, the year is always the same length, la-di-da-di-da, all these things that, you know, the universe is a constant thing around us. It's like a clockwork machine. And yet, when you look back in the ancient records, like Velikovsky did, turns out 3,600 years ago, there was a rather strong perturbation in the local atmosphere, in the local environment. And presumably, many, many other things have happened. It's a complex world. And you're talking about a planet that did not rotate the same as it did. The North Pole's in a different place. The North Pole was somewhere else, because what is now Siberia and what is now Antarctica were tropical. They were rotating around the side, or you know, the planet has tilted on its side since that time. So we can't always assume that everything's always going to be the same, or even that the size of the planet is going to be the same, or even that water has always, there's always been the same amount of water on this planet, because it might have come from somewhere else in the solar system. There's a lot of things. So 30,000 years ago, what was the state of play? Was that a time when we had another moon? What was going on then?
No, in fact, in those days, the Earth was a little warmer than it is now. However, I need to state here that the natural condition of the Earth is ice age. The Earth generally does not stay warm for long periods of time. In fact, we have just been in a warm period that's coming to an end, and that's why the ice age is starting to form again now, which is a normal period for the world. Yes, the poles have been in different positions in the past. Now, this isn't exactly a natural condition, because the poles shift due to external influence, like a huge asteroid hit or a flyby of a large object that pulls the magnetic structures of the Earth into a different position and causes the Earth to shift. So that's not exactly a natural occurrence. So you have to keep that in mind. There have been predictions over the decades of the Earth flipping on its axis, and that's not exactly correct, because what happens is the magnetic poles fluctuate due to the wobble of the Earth, but the Earth does not just flip automatically unless some external force causes that to happen. The Earth only shifts very slowly over hundreds of thousands of years, and very slowly, so that the changes are almost imperceptible. What happened during the time of Atlantis was that there was artificial manipulation of the geomagnetic structures of the Earth that caused the Earth to flip on its axis. Now, subsequently to that, in my Blue Blood book, in my True World History book, I have spoken about a planet that existed between Mars and Jupiter that was called Maldek, that exploded when a large ice comet passed by and actually became the planet Venus and pushed the Earth into the third position, and the ice comet took up the second position. However, large chunks of that Maldek, of course, became the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, but occasionally, because of the magnetic pull of the Sun, pieces of that planet that have exploded come close to the Earth and cause destructive periods of time. And that's what happened in ancient times that caused flooding and tsunamis and earthquakes, etc. That's becoming less and less common these days as the pieces of the former planet stabilize into orbit around the Sun, etc. But I can tell you that naturally the Earth is moving further away from the Sun. This is just normal science of a solar system. And as a planet moves further away from the Sun, the energetic structure changes and the so-called veils between dimensions start to become weaker. And so any living things on the surface of that world begin to perceive other realities in a greater sense than they have previously. And that's what we are starting to experience now on the Earth as we noticeably move a bit further away from the Sun. And as many of my readers know in my work, the Moon is an artificial object. It was driven into the position as a vehicle orbiting the Earth. That's why it doesn't change. The face never changes. It's always facing one way. It doesn't spin like other natural objects. And the Moon pings like a hollow object. It doesn't thump like a solid object. And there's a lot of technology underneath the Moon that is transmitting energies to the surface of our planet. It's a very complicated situation, JP. You know, most of the solar system is either inhabited or colonized or have bases by alien or extraterrestrial beings and interdimensional beings. The governments are very well aware of it. The UK government, the US government, they're all very aware of this, but they're keeping it a secret because they think either that humans can't handle it or it will undermine history, religion, and government, which it will. And so they're afraid of losing power by revealing this information. But in the very near future, no matter what the governments wish to do, it will not work because there are forces more powerful than they are who will make themselves known, whether the governments like it or not.
Okay, so it's time. Let's talk about the mantids, Stuart. because we've had the here's the thing, right? I remember when I was a kid growing up, we were watching Star Trek, and we saw all these things, and then I saw this program. You might have noticed that I posted it on my Facebook, Joe 90. Did you ever see that show?
I don't remember.
Tell me, that's about you, right?
Really?
This is a 9-year-old boy, little blonde, blue-eyed boy, right? I don't know, he's got green eyes. Blonde, green-eyed boy, this is made by Jerry Anderson, who made Thunderbirds. Did you ever see Thunderbirds? Heard of Thunderbirds?
No, I don't watch TV very much.
All right. Anyway, so this kid, right? Okay, so he sits in this machine, they got a brainwave recorder that his father, who's a professor, he's got a brainwave recorder, and he records like a pilot or a spy or an assassin. and he sucks out the brainwaves of this guy and injects them into his son. This son goes into the machine. It's got a rotating thing and a throbbing noise and psychedelic things. And he steps out and he's like, all right, okay, let's go for it. And he's like, acts like a complete adult. Does this mission and is really cool about it, and then goes on to, you know, goes to bed, you know, like a good little boy. Yeah, on some levels, it's really creepy, right? But yeah, it's also, I'm looking at Montauk Kids, and this is in 1969. This was coming out, and it was a puppet show. It was for kids, but it was revealing a deep secret, and I remember it when I was a kid, and I watched a few episodes the other day, and I was thinking, geez, that's exactly what Stuart's been talking about. Mm-hmm. So, Joe 90, you can check out my Facebook page, JP, I've got it down there, and you can watch whole episodes of this thing. And it's made by, they're marionettes, voiced marionettes. It's quite a futuristic kind of sci-fi show for kids. But
they had those kind of shows here in the 60s, many years ago here. People should watch the Montauk Chronicles movie, which basically says what I went through at the Montauk Project, which is very similar to what you described.
Oh, wow. So it's out, because I think it was just about coming out last August. So tell us about it. How's it been received? I mean, I want to see it. How do I get to see it? I'm over here in Britain. How do I get? Do I have to pay you money?
Yeah, you need to calm down again, JP.
I'm so stoked about it.
Just calm down. Now, the thing is that the movie was premiered in New York City last month, January, and it won the Best Picture Award at the Film Festival.
Congratulations.
Yes, and I am hearing rumors of Academy Award for me. I don't know. It just might be so.
Oh.
And, in fact, the producer, Christopher Garitano, was just here to visit us last weekend, and we talked about future possibilities. We're going to be doing sequels, etc. And, anyone's interested in the film, they should go onto the Montauk Chronicles site. It's not my film, I don't own it. But it's on the Montauk Chronicles, Google that and order it, and you will get a Blu-ray version. And it will be, I will be premiering it in various locations around the world.
And that's when?
It's the movie's out, so you can get it now. But as far as actual premieres, it premiered in New York in a theater. And I am possibly premiering it in Poland in a couple of weeks when I go. Yes, it will be all over the world. It is all over the world.
Stuart Swerdlow coming to a cinema Tinio. Terrible accent. Anyway, listen, that's really exciting. So is it available on like Netflix or something like that? Can I get it on online somehow?
You know, I have no control over that. You have to go to the website, Christopher's website, MontaukChronicles.com, and look it up. And he has information there where you can get it.
Good, good. Now, I remember... go on.
I am also... Next week, I'm going to be filming a new movie, which is based on my last book, True World History.
Oh, excellent. Now, there's a movie that I'd like to go and see as well. So, but the thing is, I remember I was producing for you a couple of years ago, and we spoke to Christopher Garitano before he made the movie, when he was just starting to do it. So I would be very happy, very pleased to have both of you on the show to kind of come full circle with this and to demonstrate, you know, what it was like and... talk about that. Would that be good with you?
Yes, it's fine with me. I mean, I might have to wait till I get back from my next trip, but that would be fine.
Awesome, because I think...
I will certainly let him know.
I think Montauk is something that is like... It's such a parallel thing, literally parallel thing, that it's like you're saying, it's like there's something that bleeds over into our reality that Montauk tapped into. So, Stuart, so we use this word, tapping in. Mm-hmm. Okay, can we dissect and deconstruct what exactly is in the process of tapping in? What is going on the different levels, on the physical, emotional, do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because it's described in very small terms, but it needs to be really, that's the key, isn't it? The key is tapping in. How do we do that?
Yes.
What is it about?
And it's quite simple, really. Basically, every point in time and space has a vibrational rate or frequency. And so if you match that frequency mentally, physically, mechanically, however you're going to do it, there will be an instantaneous connection. So, for example, if I want to tap in to an alternate reality where I am a multi-billionaire, I simply focus on that energy of myself as such, and I use the brown merger symbol and connect this personality to the one I want to connect to, and the energies match up with each other, and I can pull that energy into this reality, if that was simple enough.
Okay, well, that sounds like a quantum leap technique.
Yes, I've heard of.
So you're using a symbolic, associative method to connect these two frequencies. Is that right? You're using, so you mix brown with both of these things, and they mix together. Is that something like that?
There's a symbol that I call brown merger symbol, it's hard to describe. If you go on my website, you look it up and you'll see it. It's also in my books. And it's the mental intention that will help you connect to that, energy that you want to bring in. So it's both the, hyperspace archetype, the color, the intention, and the vibrational connection that all come together and bring in what the energy that you want.
And it's about what you want, isn't it?
Yes, it's all about attention.
And that's the nub of it, isn't it? So do we have intention? Or how do we discover what our intention is? Say we were just like working a 9-to-5 job, up in the morning, all that stuff, and then suddenly, we walk around the corner and somebody drops a bucket on our head, and we wake up and, there must be something more to life than this. What then is the process for finding, how do I know what my intention is? I've been told everybody I should do. What is that? What do I know is mine?
Well, that's a good point, that you're told by other people about what your life should be, but what do you want your life to be? It may not fit in, and maybe doesn't fit in to what others want for you. It's what you want for yourself, and there's no right or wrong. It's simply what you desire for your own goals. And the other issue here is that you may intend to achieve a certain goal, and then you wonder why you're not achieving it. And it's because in your mind pattern, in the many subsets of vibrational mind patterns that you have, you may have self-sabotage, self-punishment, low self-worth, abandonment, isolation issues, all of these mind pattern softwares running that prevent you from achieving your goal because they're pulling you away from it. Because there's a part of you that says, yes, I want these things, but I don't deserve it. So therefore, I will sabotage it. And that's really why people don't achieve their goals. So in my work, in the deprogramming, release work, child within, oversoul, etc., I teach people how to remove those sabotaging mind patterns so that the goals they truly desire can manifest. And that's what everyone should be working on at the moment.
Because otherwise you get drawn away in this incredible swirling vortex of of war and poverty and desperation that seems to be swilling around the earth at the moment.
Yes, but it's only if people accept it. You know, nothing can happen to you unless you allow it to happen to you. And that's the point that most people don't want to understand. They like to be a victim. They like to blame others, and then they don't have any responsibility. Isn't that lovely? But the real actuality of it is you, each one of you, are responsible for every single thing that happens. So you can't blame anybody but yourself.
So one of my favorite kind of mind patterns is the self-sabotage. Because it can work its way out in so many different myriad ways that you don't recognize it at first. Do you want to talk about it? And I mean, how did you work it out in yourself? Did you realize one day, holy crap, I'm making this up? And what was going on for you?
Well, I mean, it takes some time. You know, it depends how thick your skull is.
Well, back to latency. We were talking about before. That's the latency that I'm talking about, yeah.
Yes, yes. And so ultimately, you have to say to yourself, yes, you know what? It goes back to that analogy I said, thoughts are film, brain is projector, physical reality is screen. So I don't like the movie that's playing. I'm obviously projecting this movie out. So I need to change the script. I need to change the images on the film. And that's the way I think. And very often, we really do feel that we're doing the right thing, and yet things are coming out in an opposite way. So we have to stop, ground and balance and reset and say, okay, what is the mind pattern of what I'm experiencing? Why am I sabotaging? And ultimately, it does go back to the childhood, where some person, whether it's a parent or a sibling or a teacher or whomever, has imprinted on you that you're no good, you don't deserve something, you're not right, whatever they said to you or caused you to believe about yourself, that you then internalize and it becomes a subconscious mind pattern. And then years later, as an adult, and these people aren't around anymore, so then you fulfill their imprint and sabotage yourself. That's really what happens in this lifetime. And so we are here to learn to remove those mind patterns and remind ourselves that we are spiritual beings, part of the Oversoul and God mind and absolute, who has chosen to have a human experience, but we are really more than that. We are everything. And so how could we diminish ourselves by sabotaging and punishing ourselves? It's illogical. So once we come to that conclusion and we remove the mind patterns that perpetuate this, then we can have whatever we want. And seriously, it can happen in a moment.
But sometimes, most of the time, it takes a while. But you see, I think this latency, this energy is a kind of magnetic energy that appears to be, to me, diminishing on this planet. And I believe perhaps is part of of the matrix of deception that is like a kind of, it's like a, I don't know, my image is like the artificial stuffing in a duvet, just like it's just filler, you know, it's just like there to fill up the space where there should be meaning. That's all. What am I talking about?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows
what you're talking about.
Nobody knows where that question was supposed to go. I think you get the idea.
Yeah, if I may. And you're correct in that when we think these things for a period of time, it builds up an energy that then envelops us and causes us to insulate and to create physical issues and emotional issues that then become perpetuated and extrapolated. And so it becomes like the snowball rolling down the hill, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so at some point we have to stop it and shake off all the extraneous energies that we've created around it, and let the true inner self project out. That's basically it. And it really is simple, but people make things more complicated than they need to be. The world really should be simple, but humans complicate it and make it fragmented and extrapolated into these, you know, worlds within worlds, and it really shouldn't be like that.
I'm really loving everything, and I'm loving the chat room is having a really good time tonight. I'm really pleased with what's going on there. I'm trying to find any questions that people might have, apart from the dragon question. Everybody asks the question about the dragon. A pint of pride.
What else do they about the dragon?
Have there been sightings of the baby?
No.
It's a mystery. The mysterious dragon of the Bosnian pyramid, which came from 30,000 years ago, if not more. You know, mm-hmm. It could be that it was filled in 30,000 years ago, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Here's, JP, listen. The tunnels were filled in from the inside, okay? It was not external. It was filled in from the inside. So whomever did that, or whatever did that, is inside.
Aha. Uh-huh. And they leave dragons
as
guards, right? Okay, but it just had a baby and died. Isn't that, that's an interesting thing? How, you know, it's like, do dragons self-generate? Yeah, and that's interesting. Yeah, Doctor Who had various things about the moon being a dragon's egg that then self-generated into another egg.
Yes, I saw that episode. Yes.
I love Doctor Who. It talks about, it's got so many concepts.
Except I don't like the last Doctor. He's just not right.
I think the last Doctor should be much younger. I think the Doctor gets younger every time.
Yes.
And should have been. My everybody's going to disagree with me, but I think Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, should be the Doctor.
That's a good idea.
Because he's the right colouring, he's the right kind of kid. You know, that's my concept.
Or, JP, should I be the new Doctor?
Stuart, you could be the new Master.
I think so.
You could be the Master. You know, you got the beard. Oh, wow. Where are we? So we've done the dragon. We've done a bit of parallel dimension. Have we completed the parallel dimension thing about how the Illuminazis or the neo creeps? Well, they want to kind of draw their dimensions into us to kind of basically broadcast on several channels at once, mm-hmm. thus creating a major influence in all timelines around it. Is that the kind of idea that we're talking about?
Basically correct, but I want to make a statement about all of that. Because, you know, people call them Illuminazis and all kinds of things, and yes, they're not very nice people, I agree. However, they only have power that humanity has given them. And I know I've mentioned this on this show and other shows umpteen times, where I say that humanity as a species has a victimization mentality. And so collectively and individually, we attract tyrants and oppressors who perpetuate their control system on humanity only because we have allowed it. But that comes from within, because there's a part of us, that, like I mentioned earlier, that feels sabotage, needs to be punished, no self-worth. So if we get rid of that and we remove the victimization mentality, then the Illuminati can't exist. Then none of the mind control and all of the programming can ever continue. It will have to dissipate. So it's really up to each one of us individually and collectively to really do our work to remove this victimization. It's like the main goal of being on this world.
The main goal of our existence is to get over being a victim and become what, Stuart?
To become the part of the absolute, the creator that we are. which has no restrictions, has no limits. That's what we are. Eternal, immortal beings. That's what we are.
Well, it can't get much better than that as a life purpose. Anyway, I have more questions.
Okay.
Here from... Where is she? Where's the reverb there? Wolfbaby127. Yeah, we know you. Does Stuart know anything about the other pyramids in Iceland or the Faroe Islands? And indeed about the line that runs from Egypt up through Iceland and across and around the world on that great circle?
Well, as many of my readers know, I spend a great deal of time in Iceland. In fact, I'll be going back again next week briefly. Iceland and Greenland and the Faroe Islands are all part of what I mentioned earlier, the Hyperborea. And this area was mentioned by the ancient Greeks. It was mentioned by the ancient Hindus. It's a very heavily energetic area. As far as the energy lines, look, they're all over. It's not just from Egypt to Iceland and all that. You know, that's just some New Age stuff. These energies are all over the world. Okay, it's not just from one place to the other. It's global. You can think of the Earth as a body, and these energy lines as chakras and meridians. You know, and that's just the way it is. You cannot say that one place is more important than another. Can you say that your, you know, throat is more important than your abdomen? You know, you need both of them. They're all, every part of your body is important to your whole. And it's the same thing with the earth. You can't pick one spot and say it's, you know, a major energy center and another place isn't. Everything is an energy center. It's just a question of what you do with that energy. I will say to you that in the Snæfellsjökull Peninsula in Iceland, that is the area where the UK and the US both know there's the largest UFO base in the North Atlantic. And there are tunnel systems in Iceland, and I did documentaries there years ago about the volcanic tubes. They go right to the inner Earth. And it's a very, very energetic location as far as that's concerned. But there are other places equally as energetic as that. And so I don't know if I've answered anyone's question, but I'm just telling you what I know.
Well, the question was about the pyramids in Iceland and the pyramids in the Faroe Islands.
Yeah. Well, quite honestly, there are no pyramids in Iceland or in the Faroe Islands. There are underground bases there. There are pyramids in Crimea. There are pyramids in Bosnia, in Romania, and the eastern part of Europe and the southern part of Europe. There are pyramids everywhere. But just because there's a pyramid doesn't mean anything particularly. Basically, they were energy centers, amplifiers, for the Earth's energy field, as well as interdimensional portals that were built for specific reasons. So there's pyramids everywhere. You know, that's what I'm going to tell you. Now there are the diamond shape or octagonal pyramids. Those are energy or interdimensional centers. Step pyramids or ziggurats are mostly for ritual centers. So there's a difference in the type of pyramids that exist.
Fascinating. And the one that I find most interesting is the one in Alaska. Right bang on where the Beckenhagen's grid is, I think. There's a buried Alaskan pyramid that is top secret, of course, you know, and only this whistleblower, but they were putting a landline across to pipe energy across, and they were looking, you know, they're doing scans of all the magnetic fields, and then suddenly they find this great big radiant magnetic field. Have you heard anything about this one? It's buried. It's very much below the surface of the land.
Yeah. Look, this is not really a pyramid. This is an underground base. Alaska has a lot of underground bases. But you want to talk about buried underground technology, then you look at Ellesmere Island and Baffin Island in the north of Canada. That is where you'll find buried underground devices that are ancient. And even the government cannot tap into those. But in Alaska, look, Alaska has a lot of government and alien bases deep under the ground that emit a lot of energy, and that is what is being referenced there. It's not a pyramid.
Ah, okay. All right, so back to Alaska, where the TV series The Event had this connection with Alaska. The whole bunch of aliens from this other planet landed. They look human, but they just age really slowly. Just like you, because you're only 2,800 years old, and you don't look a day over 48,000.
Right.
You know. The idea of these of other races sort of hanging out. I mean, Alaska is to us it's remote. You know, obviously to them we're remote, but you know. What have you discovered about is it like an open cosmopolitan alien civilization there, that they've got so many different underground bases? And is Sarah Palin really from Mars?
Sarah Palin, she's definitely a programmed person, that I will tell you.
Is it the eyes? And who's the other one? Michelle Bachmann. She's got eyes,
yes,
that are like, oh my God.
I know, but she's kind of nice looking, isn't she? Michelle Bachmann. Back to Alaska. There's extensive alien interaction in that area. And that is also where one of the HAARP locations is established. There are actually 13 HAARP locations at this point. And so, look, there's alien bases all over the world, under the ocean, under mountains and deserts, you name it. The Earth is colonized, you know, by many, many different races. It's not just one. And I talk about that on my Alien Agenda conference. And, you know, you have they look very huge. You wouldn't know the difference between any of them. You could sit next to them and think it's from here. That's how human they look. And there are others who are more reptilian, and others who are more insectoid, and others who are more like grays, and everything that you can conceive of. So the Earth has been visited eons of time. They've been here before humans were here. It's not new.
That's right. So why do we feel that it's new? What is it that's changing? I've got to stop here. I'm going to go back to that question. Because WolfBaby127 is asking the question, which was, where is it? It's disappeared off the thing now. It's all right. Were there not, in fact, 12 centers of civilization, all with pyramids? That's her question.
Look, that's a new age thing. You can't say there was 12, there was 10, there were a lot of different civilizations, and all civilizations in the universe have pyramids. That's just a number one, a commonality of civilizations everywhere. Whether they're on this planet or otherwise, was pyramid structures of one type or another. So, 12, 15, 100, You can't put a number on it. This planet has had waves of civilizations, probably more than 12, over the eons of time. Before it was even, before the surface was even inhabitable. You know, there were beings here, who lived in the inner earth before the surface was available for colonization. So there's been many, many, waves of civilization, much more than 12, over the eons of time. So you can't put a number on it, really. Just like you can't put a number on how many different alien groups. There are billions out there, literally. And that's just in this universe, let alone the infinite universes. You know, the creation is teeming with life. And the same thing with civilizations. There's been umpteen civilizations on this planet.
So, when we talk about civilization, are they all as uncivil as ours, and do they destroy themselves, or just, does it kind of just like, oh, well, that was fun, let's go home?
Let me tell you, right now, this planet, Earth, is the Syria of the galaxy. You know, we are a bad neighborhood, and that's what brings the attention here, is because we are a threat to everything else out there. And so that is why they're here. It's not to give us love, light, and peace, and it's not to uplift mankind like the New Age people want to believe. It's because we scare them, and they want to put an end to that threat. That's what's going on.
Oh, wow. So it's not like they love us. That they're being nice to us, it's because we're being really annoying.
Nice. Well, they're not nice at all. At all. And that's why the government keeps it a secret. Because if people found out what was going on, they'd be horrified.
Okay, and is that because of warlord activity on the Earth has gone far too amok?
Well, that's, you can look at it that way. You know, each of these, many of the main groups that have come here have created their own, subgroups on the earth, hybrids, if you will, sub-civilizations, who have their own agenda and who conflict with each other. And so basically, the earth is a, playground or a stage for other groups to fight with each other without affecting their own place.
I see. So what you're talking about is like, yeah, exactly what you mean by theory. The theater of war, as has been described.
Among other things, yeah.
Right.
There's a lot going on, JP. It's not just that. There's a lot of things going on.
Wow. So, okay. So, Stuart, what else is happening? Tell us. We're strong enough.
You think?
You ain't ready for the truth. Well, you can't handle the truth. Maybe we can. All right. We'll try. I'll tell you when to stop. Okay? So, no means no, and stop means stop, okay? 50 Shades of Jay.
Oh, you had to bring that one up, huh?
Ha, ha, ha.
That's funny because we did a podcast yesterday, and I told Janet she was talking about that movie, and I said it was 50 Shades of Janet. Anyway, what's going on? Gee, well, like I mentioned, there's colonization. There's the extraction. Some of them are here simply to extract minerals from the earth. Some are here to do biological and genetic experimentation. Others are here because they consider humans to be, and I quote, containers that can be used. Others are here to annihilate the planet. Others are here because they consider us to be a threat and want to contain it and make sure that no one leaves here. Others are here because they are doing all kinds of experiments. I mean, there are so many groups and so many agendas that it literally makes many people in the government very crazy about it, and that's why they keep it a secret, because they have no way to explain it properly, because there is no one explanation.
Yeah, and that's the picture. This is the problem. No matter how far you back up, you know, how far you back out and try and see the big canvas, it just gets weirder as, you know, towards the edges. You know, the rules stop applying. It's like quantum physics. Every time, you know, you thought Newtonian mechanics could hold you, hold the universe, but you back up enough and you see that quantum physics applies and that, oh, that doesn't work anymore. And things go a bit squirrely. So, all right, so we're a lab. This is a lab. It's a farm. It's a bit more like a kind of industrial lab, really, isn't it? Sort of a R&D farm. They build clones of skin suits and things like that. Things, DNA for export. How much of it is it because it's a kind of, what's that word? An outlaw zone. Is that why we've got such a kind of a mafiocracy?
That's true.
That is basically not a, you know, they're just saying, hey, you can vote. Yeah, we don't care.
Nobody really votes.
Yeah.
That's just a joke.
Exactly, and nobody gets elected, and
no.
People are selected, not elected, and it's all a farce. It's all like the entertainment arm of the military industrial complex. Mm-hmm. So having peeled those layers back off, and all of those, I mean, there's so much. It's just like we are so piled up with blankets upon piles upon tips upon blankets, you know, it just gets to find our way back to the fresh air of truth, out of the building that surrounds the building, you know, out into the fresh air. It's a long slog, isn't it?
Yes, but when you have the intention of accomplishing it, you can accomplish it. It's only when you have issues of fear and blame and reservation of knowing the truth, that's when you create the blocks that you prevent you from knowing what's going on.
And that takes us back to clearing your energy systems and being able, because it's the, you know, things that I've been working on for myself are things like the what you call the growing of the inner child. Is
yes.
Retrieving these little fragments that we were traumatized out of us for, you know, and nobody even noticed, you know, even children who are not, you know, blatantly traumatized. Trauma happens, Stuart. Even the first moment, one of the big moments of our life is when our mothers stop breastfeeding us when we call them. And we start feeding according to the clock. That's a trauma that never comes away from us.
Well, birth itself is a trauma, you know. Yes, you correct the best child within. And in fact, in my Hyperspace Helper book, I have an exercise called Growing Up the Child Within. And everybody needs to do that, like immediately. Because there's no time to play around.
Okay, how long does it take?
That depends on the person. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be at least a few weeks, if not a few months, or more, until you grow up the child to be the age you are now. It depends what age you're starting at.
You have to put it in one of these test tubes.
Most people, I would say, between 2 and 5 is when they will see the child within. As being the most traumatized, and that's where they become emotionally stuck, and they react to things from that perspective of that age, even as adults. And so that needs to be grown up.
Interesting. And these is this available as a sort of separate module from expansion?
No, it's a chapter in my book, a Hyperspace Helper book. You can look at that book and read the chapter, also do the Golden Altar release work, and that will remove the mind patterns that have perpetuated the negative cycles.
Okay, because it's these very early traumas that are the... it's just like you were saying about the Earth. This is, you know, it's like the As Above, So Below. That's a beautiful show. Thank you so much. is that showing that the Earth has been traumatized and we, humanity, have been traumatized and are still carrying the victimhood when we don't need to, because we're still we've been unable to release as a whole this traumatized energy. So is there a hope for humanity? How many does it take?
Well, it goes by individual. You know, I can't say 400 people do it and the rest. No, everybody has to do their own work. All 7.5 billion people need to do their own work. No one can do it for them. Yes, if the majority does the work, the energy of that can spill over to encourage the rest to do their work, but no one can do the work for others. Nobody can heal you. No one can remove demons from you. No one can take your programming away. You have to do it. You have to do it. Each person has to do the work. Just like I can't eat for you or sleep for you or take a shower for you. I can't deprogram you. You have to do it. You understand? So all these new age, airy-fairy, gurus that say, oh, yes, I will do this ceremony and that ceremony and you'll be pure and I'll, sweep my wand over your body and you'll be cleansed. That's a bunch of malarkey. Nobody can do that for you. It has to be done by the individual with their own mind.
And with that, wow, this has been a brilliant journey, Stuart. This is has covered quite a lot of the ground that we were talking about earlier on before the show. So I think we've got a definite download complete kind of thing. So let's talk about your immediate future. Where you're off to? What are you coming back to Europe? Where are you going? Are you going to the Far East? What's happening?
Oh yes, I'll be next week on my way to Czech Republic, where I'll be doing that movie I mentioned to you about true world of history. Then I'll be going to Wrocław, Poland, to do a seminar and a TV show there, and consultations. Then going to Vienna to do the same seminar and consultations. Then I'm off to Taipei, where I'll be meeting the Princess of Japan, with a very important meeting and message for her. And she's very anxious to speak with me. And on the way, I stop in Moscow and Hong Kong and Seoul and finally come back to this area. So, and then in April, I will be doing the Free Your Mind conference in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. At April 11th, and then the last weekend in April is our seminar here, Addicted to Addictions and How to Free Yourself from That. So go on my website, expansions.com. All my schedule and everything is up there. Look at the information, read the articles. So we have a membership for videos, etc. It's a one-stop shop to clear your head and to make your life better than it is now.
Excellent, excellent. So, Taipei, the Princess of Japan.
Yeah.
Is that because the Russians have given Taipei back to Japan and they're going to recolonize it? Is that the idea?
No, well, Taipei, that's part of Taiwan, and the Chinese want that. But the princess is interested in speaking to me about what she knows of certain things, which I cannot discuss on the air, and what I have to tell her. And it's a very big deal.
Well, sounds like good news, though. So all power to you there. That's so we're at the top of the show. Stuart Swerdlow, it's been such an amazing journey. We've discussed dragons, we've been in the past, we've been in the ancient past, we've been parallel dimensions. You can, if anybody's interested, the show is called Fringe, F-R-I-N-G-E. That's the show about the Nazi, the paperclip scientist and the parallel dimensions. Joe 90, J-O-E 90. Again, you can search for that on YouTube. They were from the 60s, and they're fanatics who keep all these things, and they make YouTube channels of the whole series, and you can watch all these amazing puppet shows that disclose everything. What else? And of course, there's Doctor Who, which is a BBC product.
And don't forget Montauk Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so now here we go. You're in this film, The Montauk Chronicles. That's out, and somewhere you can look it up. There's a what's Christopher's tell about Christopher's website, Stuart.
Well, it's MontaukChronicles.com. His name is Christopher Garitano. He was just on Coast to Coast last night. Perhaps some of your listeners have listened to that show. And you can go on the site, look at the video preview, and you can order the DVD or Blu-ray version, and he will send it to you.
There we go. That's how you get to see it. You get the Blu-ray, and they project it onto. Hey, Stuart, is it? Am I being like naive here, or is Blu-ray technology the technology that they use to load the players that go into the big sky projectors? Or is that just a silly idea?
Well, it's related. It's a related technology, yes.
Yeah, Blu-ray and Bluebeam, and like, because to store a hologram, you obviously need to hold a lot of data, and a Blu-ray disc holds, about 10 times more data than DVD. So you need to create a new device. So, Blu-ray. All right. So that makes sense. And also, obviously, it's working in the ultraviolet spectrum on the laser, and you can get much smaller and denser packed information. Stuart Swerdlow, we have almost no minutes left. It's been wonderful to speak to you once again. Thank you so much, everybody. This has been Ever Beyond. Stand by for Frank Jordan and his Earthmind Think Tank group and the Global Healing Show. Stuart, thank you so much once again.
Thank you, Trey.
Protective field that prohibits anybody from getting into your space.